Well, happy Easter, church. Although this is an unusual Easter, to say the least. And as with many parts of living through this very strange time, this is a natural time to think through what parts of our lives we want to keep, what parts of our lives we want to do away with. For example, I will be fine if I never again see Craig Lair in an Easter bonnet. I mean, look at poor Sophie there. He's about to poke her eye out. And let's talk for a minute about Easter candy. Now, let me be clear. I love Easter candy. I love candy of all kinds, but there is some candy, especially Easter candy, that I'm going to recommend that all of us stay at least 6 feet away from. Hollow chocolate bunnies, Cadbury eggs, and above all, marshmallow peeps. Now, let me also be clear that none of my recommendations are backed by the CDC. Nothing I'm recommending right now has anything to do with COVID-19 whatsoever. These are just lessons I learned that I'm gladly passing on to you. They are words of wisdom that I gleaned from childhood. They're just sound, sage advice. Hollow chocolate bunnies are deceptive. They always promise far more than they can deliver. And Cadbury eggs are extremely overhyped. They are overrated, and in the end, I'm sorry, they're just disappointing. And as for marshmallow peeps, I think we can all agree. Those things are just plain disgusting. Not to mention the fact that they're kind of creepy. That aside, I can tell you that I am very much going to miss some things that are traditional this time of year at Easter. I am, for one, going to miss very much going out on the lawn at church and watching all the kids dressed up beautifully and handsomely, standing in the lawn waiting for Miss Jennifer to tell them to go and run and to pick up their Easter eggs. And obviously, that's not something we can do this year. And so I decided maybe there was something a little more fitting for our time, something a lot of us are finding extremely necessary but difficult to find right now, and that is a little altered Easter hunt that maybe you can do at home for your children. On your mark, get set, go!
Happy Easter, everybody!
Okay, enough with the silliness. I wanted to start the videos this morning with a little bit of fun, and I also wanted to throw in there a few things that at least I found funny. Now, the tough thing about this medium is I can't tell what kind of response these videos produce as I put them out there. So I'm just going to imagine that all across Central Arkansas right now, there is uproarious laughter because of my silliness and hijinks. But here's the thing. Easter is supposed to be a time of rejoicing. Easter is supposed to be a time of celebration, of happiness in our hearts and a song in our heart, and a time in which we remember and celebrate that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Now, Christmas gets a lot more attention and time in our society. Christmas is the time where music is piped through the stores whenever we shop. You remember shopping in stores? Those were good times. Easter doesn't get the same kind of attention that Christmas does. And Christmas is rightfully a big and joyful celebration. But without Easter, the story is incomplete. Easter is what takes the story of Jesus from a good story, just another story about a good person, to an only God could accomplish that story. Because Easter is the proclamation to the world that the tomb is empty, that Jesus Christ is risen just as he said he would, and that he will raise us up one day, and that he will make all the world new. Easter is a natural time for joyful, enthusiastic celebration. But here's the thing. This is not the easiest time for rejoicing right now, is it? It is not the easiest time for enthusiastic celebration. A lot of people are discouraged. More and more people are depressed. This is a time of a lot of anxiety. This is a time where a lot of people are afraid. I can't help but remember one of my favorite sermons to listen to of all times. It is by a preacher named S.M. Lockridge. And I want to show you a video which captures just a little bit of that sermon.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sundays are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sundays come. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning, and evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something, Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the earth trembles, the sky grows dark, my King yields his spirit. It's Friday, hope is lost, death has won, sin has conquered, and Satan's just a laugh. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
Isn't this such a powerful and pertinent message? But I want to remind you of one more thing, and I think this is especially critical because in so many ways, it still feels like it's Friday. But Sunday is here, Easter is here, which means despite all the darkness around us and sometimes the darkness we struggle with within us, we worship a risen Lord. Now, Easter has always been a source of tremendous hope when we die. Even in the best of times, these bodies are mortal. These bodies are finite. Yet the resurrection of Jesus demonstrates that we will be raised to new life and new bodies one day. Yet the Easter story has always been about so much more than just giving us hope when we die. The Easter story gives us hope today. It gives us hope in our darkest days. It gives us hope every day. It gives us hope that carries us through disease. It gives us hope that carries us through despair. It gives us hope that carries us through economic downturns. It gives us hope that carries us through death. It gives us hope that God can do far more than we can ask or even imagine. So what does your hope allow you to imagine right now? I've asked several families in this church to share about the hope that they have for what God can bring about when this is all over. So let's watch.
Our hope when this is all over is that we can remember the closeness we had and come together as a community to be kind and share the love with one another.
Happy Easter!
We pray you and your family are staying healthy and well, and you are finding those blessings throughout your day that make you smile and encourage you to get through in certain times.
And our hope is when this is all over that we never again take for granted the time that we spend, whether it's at church or life group, those one-on-one interactions, the time we have singing at church, fellowshipping with one another, watching our kids play with each other. We pray that we truly appreciate how special those times really are. And with that, we'll say goodbye.
We miss you. Bye.
Happy Easter.
Bye. Happy Easter.
During this quarantine, we hope that we have gotten to know the people that were quarantined a little bit better on a deeper level. We certainly have. And then I think afterwards, I hope that we are driven to get to know the people that are outside of our four walls on a deeper level. I hope that we've gone outside more and that we appreciate nature more. Ultimately, I think that I hope that the right normals come back and the wrong normals don't come back.
Right, yeah. I want us to reconsider what we're rushing back to. We're all rushing to get back to normal, and I think we need to reconsider the good things about what normal is and maybe try to get rid of the things that were normal before that we've now realized have not been good for us. I'm going to write down what I'm grateful for during this time, because I think it's going to be very easy when this is quote unquote over to forget what we are grateful for during this time, the simple things that we are grateful for. So because of that, I hope to come back a year from now, 2 years from now, 20 years from now, and keep reading my gratefulness during this time so that I continue to be grateful for the things that we were provided with and given. Very grateful for family and the food, our jobs, and our church.
Agreed. Stay well, everybody. Thanks a lot.
I think one of the biggest things right now is that a lot of us, myself included, are really being intentional about the kinds of stories that we are consuming and dwelling on right now. We're not trying to look at all of this with like rose-tinted glasses or anything. It's more like super high-def night vision binoculars, and we're just desperately searching out uplifting stories and drive-by birthday parties and that sort of thing. We're craving good news. And so, you know, there's always been a lot of ugliness and a lot of beauty in the world. And my hope when all of this is behind us is that we take the binoculars with us, that we continue to be intentional and look for the goodness and to dwell on those things and recognize where they come from and why they matter and just keep searching out good news.
Hello, church.
Hello, church.
We hope when this is all over that everyone has a greater appreciation for people, for community, and for fellowship.
Our hope when this is all over is
to see all my friends again. To do small group.
To never take for granted being at church.
To get to see everyone at church, everyone in our small group, even Josh Searcy again.
Our hope for when this is all over is that we will approach every moment with gratitude and not just the big ones.
We hope that we remember to appreciate the healthcare workers who've been fighting the virus and who help us with our health every day. We also hope that we can remember to love our neighbor as ourselves in a whole new way.
My hope is that I will resume my community and life group activities with a whole new level of joy and thankfulness.
My hope is that I can play sports, do sports, be sports, and have sports again once this pandemic is over and have a whole new connection through people and love.
I am so encouraged by the hopes that everyone shared. And Jack, I am right there with you. I'm ready for sports to resume. But like you shared and like so many other people shared, I am ready for new levels of connection, for new levels of love and compassion, for new levels of perspective and whole new levels of purposes. And like Alex shared, I am hoping for a new normal. Here's the thing about hope. Hope is never limited by what is. Hope is all about what can be. And hope is praying for and longing for and working for what can be. Hope is more than just a wish. Hope is based on a belief in the God that we declare today raises the dead to life, the God who shines light into darkness, the God who brings joy in places of despair, who brings connection and community into our loneliness, the God who brings peace when there is fear, the God who makes possible a whole new life. I want you to listen to this encouraging prayer from Paul from Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I'm praying for you and me during this difficult time that we would know, that we would hold on to the hope that we have in Christ, and that we would grab on to the inheritance that comes from that, that we can embrace and enjoy even now. And I'm praying for you and me, even during a time in which we can feel so powerless, that we would remember the incomparably great power for those who believe. What kind of power? It is resurrection power. The same power that raised Christ from the dead and has him raised above all things. That is the power that raises up our hope, that raises up our purposes, that raises up our world, that raises us up to new life. Times are hard, but we do not lose hope. Easter Sunday, Easter power is here.
I hope everyone is having a great Easter Sunday. Please pray with me now. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day, and thank you for the beauty that comes with spring. Thank you for Easter Sunday. Thank you for giving us the gift of your Son. These are difficult times, Lord. The global pandemic has led to death, sickness, financial hardship, separation and loneliness, profound disappointment and sadness for so many people. Lord, we need you. Lord, help us, guide us, comfort us. Help us to love and support each other. Help us to be mindful of your constant love that heals all wounds and eases all pain. Help us on this day, Easter, to be mindful of the promise of spring, the promise of hope, the promise of redemption, the promise of eternal life that comes from you. God, who gives us all these things, thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day.